Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are with me today as we continue in our series, our discussion, whatever you want to call it, called No Turning Back. And man, so far we have talked about waking up spiritually. We've talked about understanding the times prophetically. And of course, yesterday we talked about understanding the cost that Jesus lays out very clearly of following him, because he never has hidden agendas. He never has hidden cost. And we're going to continue that series today. But good morning. Hopefully you have your coffee. Hopefully you're up about your day doing whatever you do. And of course, if you're watching this later on the live stream, prayerfully you're having a great day as well. Do me a favor, like, comment, share, subscribe, depending on whatever platform you're watching on. Let us know that you're here. Let us know that you're with us today. We love to see who we're connecting with, who's joining us on these lives. So today I want to talk about something that affects every single believer. And here's the danger of it, is it affects every believer, whether we realize it or not. And what is that? That is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Now, some people hear that phrase and they immediately think of something strange. They think of something dramatic. You know, there's that comedian on Facebook. I totally forget his name. But he has one that I watch every Halloween because I love it. And it's like the church Karen lady character that he does. And he's you know, driving down through the neighborhood and there's all the Halloween decorations and he's, you know, and I break agreement, you know, with that. And I laugh because that was the atmosphere that I grew up in. That was the home. Like, and, you know, but sometimes we hear that phrase and we think of something strange or dramatic, or we think of something spooky. They think of a lot of blaming the devil for everything, right? And I understand that because sometimes Christians can get weird about spiritual warfare. Somebody has a flat tire and it's the devil. Somebody oversleeps and it's the devil. Somebody is in a bad mood and guess what? It's the devil. But sometimes the problem is not a demon. Sometimes you just got to go to bed earlier. Sometimes you just need to apologize. Sometimes we just need to make better decisions. Sometimes we need to stop eating the thing that keeps making your stomach hurt or puts too much caffeine in you, causing you not to sleep, right? So there's that side of it, is I am always cautious of over-promoting the power of the devil, over promoting the devil's work in our lives, because sometimes Christians can use spiritual warfare and masking everything as an attack of the adversary simply to not be held accountable for their own actions. And so the devil's fault, right? And here's the problem with that. If we don't rightly divide that and discern that, then what begins to happen long-term is we push everything off as the devil, and then suddenly we take no accountability for ourselves, and then we stay in a perpetual cycle of drama, of problems, you know, all kind of chaos in our lives. And we're saying it's the devil, but really it's because we refuse to take accountability and change our own actions or our decision-making or our habits or whatever's leading us into this constant cycle of turmoil, right? However, on the other side, because there is the other side, that just because some people get weird about spiritual warfare does not mean that we ignore what the Bible clearly teaches, right? Like if you're involved in Christianity for any length of time, you're going to find that people can take anything in scripture to the extreme and run with it 1,000 miles in the other direction. However, that does not give us permission to ignore biblical teaching, right? Just because somebody went off the deep end with it. So The Bible tells us that there is a real enemy. There is real darkness, temptation, deception. There is real opposition against the purposes of God. And I want to just say that right there. There's real opposition against the purposes of God. There's another comedian, John Chris, and I heard him doing a bit, something about his aunt, and she was on a diet or something, and she's driving, and the Krispy Kreme donut sign, is like flashing, and the devil tempted her, and she pulled in, right? And he was like, with all the stuff going on in the world, I don't know that the devil was like, I'm getting Aunt Sue, right? With that Krispy Kreme. But there's an aspect of that. And so that's why I always lean in. The devil's not concerned about your dryer until you are in the purposes of God. Then he wants to oppose you. Then he wants to disrupt you. Then he wants to bring chaos into your life. But listen, the reality is he's not God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. He's got himself. He's got his legions of demons and that tribe, but he's not God. He's not the Holy Spirit, right? So what does he focus in on? Those who oppose or those who bring the purposes of God. And the danger is that many believers are trying to live the Christian life without realizing that if you are in the will of God, if you are about the purposes of God, you are engaged in spiritual battle. And then what happens is they are discouraged and do not know why. They keep getting tempted and don't know how to stand. They're distracted and don't realize it's pulling them away from their purpose, from prayer. They're offended and do not realize the enemy is using that offense to divide relationships. They're tired and isolated and prayerless and spiritually unguarded. And so Paul writes to the church in Ephesians 6 and basically says, hey, be strong in the Lord. Do not try to fight in your own strength. And he would go on to say, put on the armor God gives you so that you can stand against the strategies of the devil. Because real battle is not against people. It is not ultimately against flesh and blood. But he says that there are spiritual forces of darkness at work behind the scenes. So he says, take up the full armor of God. Stand firm with truth. Walk in righteousness. Be ready with the gospel of peace. Lift up faith like a shield. And of course, put on salvation like a helmet. And take the word of God like a sword. And keep praying. Pray in the spirit. Stay alert. Keep praying for all believers. And I love that because that is Paul's picture of spiritual warfare. You know what it doesn't show me? Panic, weirdness, not fear, but strength in the Lord, armor from God, truth in our hearts, the word in our mouths, faith lifted high, prayer that does not quit. So today, I want to just encourage us from this thought. That what is spiritual warfare? Well, spiritual warfare starts with strength in the Lord. It starts with strength in the Lord. Paul does not begin by saying, be strong in yourself, right? Pastor Parsley used to preach, Psalm 91, have faith in God. And he just go running, 20-minute thing right there. Have faith in God, not faith in your preacher, not faith in your denomination, not faith in your own ability, but have faith in God. What do we have faith in? God. And Paul does the same here when he says, be strong in the Lord. That matters, right? Because spiritual warfare is not about trying harder in human strength. It's not about being loud. It's not about being dramatic. It's not about acting more intense than everybody else. Now, sometimes if you're praying, I'm an intense prayer, things can get loud. But actually, the Bible says in quietness and confidence is your strength. It's not about the volume. It's about a stance in the spirit. It's about learning to stand in the strength of Jesus. And that is where many people get worn out. We are trying to fight spiritual battles with emotional energy. We are trying to fight temptation with willpower. We're trying to fight discouragement by just hyping ourselves up. Or we combat fear with positive thinking. But Paul says our strength has to come from the Lord. Our strength has to come from the Lord. So if you try to stand in your own strength, what's going to happen? Eventually, you get tired. Eventually, you get overwhelmed. Eventually, you get discouraged. Eventually, you start asking, why is this so hard? And it's because you were never meant to do this in your own strength. You need the power of God. You need the presence of God. You need the Word of God. You need the Spirit of God. And that is why those things matter. Prayer, worship, scripture reading, staying connected to the body of Christ matters. You cannot live spiritually strong while staying spiritually disconnected. What is that old saying that the first banana from the bunch is the first to get peeled, right? Like there's strength in connection. So if you want to stand in the battle, you have to stay close to the source of your strength. And your strength is not your personality. It is not your ability to be disciplined. It is not your gifting. It is not your experience. It is your strength in the Lord. So the second thing we have to realize today is that the enemy has strategies. Paul says we stand against the schemes, strategies, or wiles of the devil. That means the enemy is not random, right? Another scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. Right? The enemy has patterns. He has strategies. He studies your weakness. He knows how to tempt. He knows how to accuse. He knows how to divide or to discourage. And one of the most important things that we can understand about spiritual warfare is that the enemy often works through that sneaky strategies that he has. And it's not always obvious. Sometimes it's not dramatic. Sometimes it's that thought that keeps coming back. Sometimes it's that little offense that you keep rehearsing that suddenly is becoming larger than it should. Sometimes it's that temptation that you just keep making room for. Or it's a lie about your identity. Sometimes he will use your exhaustion to make you vulnerable. Or isolate you so you're not in community. Sometimes it's that overwhelming aspect of comparison. Sometimes it is fear. Sometimes it is that slow drift of your heart away from God. But whatever it is, that's why Peter says to be sober-minded and watchful, because our adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Notice the language. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. In other words, what do we talk about day one? Stay awake. Pay attention. Don't live careless. Don't live unguarded. Don't assume you are above temptation. Do not assume the enemy is not interested in your family or your calling or your peace or your purity or your witness or your obedience. Why? Because he has strategies. He's that lion looking for the little open door. You know, our kids have a TV that they can watch, and you know, we have a Fire Stick attached to it, and you know, we have all kind of guard things on there, and you know, parental things, and it went bad, so I had to order a new one, and the new one came in, and I plugged it in, and I don't know if you're like me, but I am sitting there trying to figure out how to put the same parental guidelines and guards on the Fire Stick app. And I had done it once before, like, you know, 4 years ago. And for the life of me, I'm getting frustrated. You're trying to log in. It's telling you to scan the code, whatever. You know, it's just one of those things. So I just thought I'll deal with it tomorrow. Well, the kids were watching TV and I'm laying in bed, but all I can think about is they have unguarded access. for whatever. And I was just restless. I had to get up and I had to just go up and unplug the thing. I said, sorry, guys, you got to play a game. You got to do something else. I can't leave you with unguarded access. Right? Why? Because it's that one moment, one temptation that the enemy looks for, that one open door. And sometimes, you know, just as I just was so restless with that, sometimes that's how we have to be in our own lives. Where's the open door? Where's the enemy? If he's looking to how he can gain access to me, I should be just as strategic of looking. Ah, could he get in here? Is that an open door? Right? But here's the good news in all of it. We are not ignorant of his devices, right? We're not helpless. There's a solution. God has given us armor. God has given us truth and authority in Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us his word and prayer, and we don't have to live afraid, but we do need to live alert. We do need to live alert. Where is there an access point? What is that temptation? Are you not getting enough sleep? Are you staying up too late, binge watching Netflix, and now the next day you're irritable and miserable and short with everybody, and the enemy is using your tiredness to bring offense, to misread people's interpretations, just you're physically drained. And we all know when you are physically drained, it's hard to stand. You know, your flesh screams. I don't know about you, but if I'm, you know, trying to eat healthier and I wake up tired, my drive past Dunkin' Donuts is like spiritual warfare on steroids, right? Because it's like physically I'm tired. My body wants it. I need it today, right? But when I wake up refreshed and had a great night's sleep, it's like, hey, we got this. I don't need that. Right? So sometimes there's a natural part in play, but the enemy will manipulate the natural things that are out of alignment in your life as an open door for spiritual warfare. Right? So what do? We just live alert. We come to God and we say, Lord, all right, well, I'm struggling today. God, I just feel like the enemy's out to get me. I feel like everybody's out to get me. I'm just struggling. All right, did I not sleep good? All right, let's have an honest conversation about that. What was the source? Was I, you know, was the enemy putting thoughts in my mind? You know, did I combat those thoughts? Did I speak the word of God? Or did I eat a bunch of stuff right before I went to bed that caused me not to sleep, that, you know, that I stay up too late watching something? You following what I'm saying today? So yes, if there's a physical thing that is opening the door for the enemy to have access in your life and play on your emotions, play on your tiredness, play on your frustration, then yeah, we bind the enemy. But until you fix what's out of alignment and out of order in your life, it's going to continue to be a weak point, giving the adversary access. We have all had those sleepless nights. And before you walked into your job, you had to say, Jesus, help me. Why? Because we know that our flesh is not up to full par on resisting just people today and dealing with the junk and drama of people, much less the drama and the temptation of the adversary. So before we move on today, I just also need to clarify this. People are not the enemy. And this is one of the most important parts about spiritual warfare. Remember, Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That means people are not your real enemy. Now, people can be used by the enemy, just as you can have a sleepless night, and maybe you don't realize you're being used by the enemy. You're frustrated. You walk into that workplace and, you know, somebody asks you a question that you think is dumb and you just snap out on them. And they're already struggling with emotional stuff or, you know, they're whatever. And now you're just kind of unloading on them because you're tired. And the enemy has just used you to drive in a core identity that he's trying to birth at. Nobody likes you. You're rejected. You're hated. And instead of being the light, instead of being, you know, Christ in the earth, we, you know, through our whatever frustration, was used by the adversary to enforce wrong thinking in someone else. So let's reverse that. People also, you know, can just be having a bad day, and the enemy's going to use their frustration, their tiredness, their drama, their whatever relationships to oppose you, to hurt you, right? People can misunderstand you and criticize you. People can create problems. But the deeper battle is always spiritual, right? So maybe they just got a lot going on in their world, but the enemy said, you know what? I'm going to put these two together today because it's going to blow up their life. They're going to snap out. They're going to lose their job. They're not going to be able to fulfill the call of God on their life. They're going to fall short of what God's asked them to do. I just got to get these two tired people together, right? So that's where we have to understand is, yes, people can be used, and sometimes unknowingly, right? I've been used, I know, of the adversary of the devil to hurt people. Did I do it intentionally? No, I just allowed my guard to be lowered, my tiredness, my frustration, my whatever, as a tool to cut somebody off, to be short with somebody, to belittle somebody, all because of what's going on in my world. Really had nothing to do with them, right? So the deeper battle is always spiritual. And when you forget that, you start fighting people and start instead of fighting the real battle. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. He wants husbands fighting wives and parents fighting children and church members fighting church members and believers fighting other believers and Christians fighting people that they are called to preach, right? He wants us distracted in flesh and blood battles. Why? So that the real spiritual battle goes unaddressed. You know, maybe there is that one coworker on your job that you are just sure it's not a lack of sleep. They are just a bitter, evil person. Well, guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is operating through them. So could it be just as God sent David into the valley with a mission to defeat Goliath? See, this is where many Christians get confused because they start throwing up their hands and says, oh God, you put me in a valley with a Goliath. Do you not care about me? Do you not love me? But a spirit of faith says, if I'm in the valley and the giant's in the valley, then that spirit of faith that David had comes up and says, well, only one of us are going to walk out of this valley, and it's not going to be Goliath. And I'm not talking about punching out your coworker. I'm talking about saying if God put me in a cubicle with that angry, bitter person, then it must mean that he wants that hurt, that wound, that bondage, that whatever that's operating through that person to be brought down to its knees and have that person encounter Jesus and be free from that oppression. So my spiritual assignment is to be freedom and light and a witness to that person, to love them so much that that enemy, that wound in them doesn't stand a chance. However, if the enemy can get me to only see through the eyes of the flesh, I don't know why, they're just nasty. I don't like them. They don't like me. You know, everything they do opposes me. Then what happens? The real reason that we're there to fight those spiritual battles goes unaddressed. And this is where we have to be careful in the times that we are living in. There is so much anger in the world. A lot of outrage, a lot of division, a lot of suspicion. People turning every disagreement into a war. But if we are followers of Jesus, we cannot forget who the real enemy is. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your child is not your enemy. Your neighbor who keeps letting their dog do what it does in your grass is not your enemy. The person who disagrees with you is not the enemy. The lost person is not the enemy. Jesus did not tell us to hate people. Jesus told us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. So that does not mean we avoid truth. It does not mean we compromise. It does not mean we pretend evil is good. But it does mean we fight the right battle in the right spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We do not fight like the world fights. We fight with truth and prayer and love and holiness. We fight with faith. We fight with the gospel. We fight by standing firm in Christ. And all that brings us to my final point today is that the armor of God is not optional. So in that scripture, Paul tells believers to put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, the whole armor. Why? Because partial armor leaves exposed places. And exposed places become vulnerable places. He talks about truth and righteousness, the gospel of peace and faith and salvation and the word of God and prayer. Think about how practical that is. Truth protects you from lies. Righteousness protects you from compromise. The gospel of peace keeps you grounded and ready. Faith protects you when the enemy shoots fear and accusation and doubt into your mind. Salvation guards your identity. The word of God gives you a weapon to answer temptation and deception with. Prayer keeps you connected to the power and presence of God. So this is not just religious language. This is how we stand. And if you are not walking in truth, you are vulnerable. If you are making room for compromise, you are vulnerable. If you are not rooted in the gospel, then friends, you are vulnerable. If you are not living by faith, you are vulnerable. If you are confused about your salvation and identity in Christ, then you are vulnerable. If you're not praying, you are vulnerable. If you are not in the word, you are vulnerable. And that is why the armor matters. God does not give us armor as decoration. He gives us armor because there is a battle. And I think a lot of believers are trying to fight armored battles in casual clothes. They're not in the word. They're not praying. They're not guarding their hearts. They're not walking in truth. They're not resisting compromise. And they wonder why they feel spiritually beat up. Why? Because Paul says, put on the armor. In other words, do not wait until you are under attack to start preparing, right? Don't wait until the rain comes to start building the ark. Don't wait until the wind blows to start building your house on a strong foundation. Put it on now. Walk in truth now. Pray now. Get in the word now. Strengthen your faith now. I've heard this said before, but some of us are trying to have the, I forget how we worded it, but faith to produce a wedding cake when we first haven't had faith to produce a donut. Right? That's faith is a muscle and faith must be worked. So that's why I always tell people, be believing God for something. If you have no crisis in your life, if you have nothing you believe in God for, find somebody else and start believing God for them. Why? Because faith is a muscle. And until we start building our faith, testing our faith, don't wait until the major diagnosis comes to say, all right, where's my faith scriptures? Now, God's a good God. He helps us, right? He compensates our weakness. But don't wait until the enemy's knocking on your door to decide, yeah, I probably should strengthen my faith a little bit. No. Put on the armor now. Stay in faith now. Build your faith now. Build your confidence now. When the enemy confronted Jesus, Jesus didn't have to say, well, now let me figure out what the word of God says and I'll get back to you on that. No, he immediately responded to the adversary and says, but the word, right? The word says we shall not live by bread alone. He knew the scriptures. He had prepared. He had it in his heart. What did the scripture say? Or David said, your word have I hid in my heart. Why? So that I would not sin against you. So the word is hidden first so that when temptation rises, there's a strategy in place. The enemy has a strategy, but so do we, right? So guard your heart. Do not back down now. Paul ends this section by talking about prayer. Praying always, praying in the Spirit, staying watchful, preserving in prayer for all believers. So I just want to close with this. That tells me that prayer is not a side issue in spiritual warfare. Prayer is essential. It is the central part. Prayer is not what we do after everything else fails, after the advice from our friends don't work out. No, prayer is part of how we stand. And when you pray, you are not doing nothing. You know, there's that kind of movement online of, you know, when there's been a natural disaster, something happens and, you know, people are saying, you know, my prayers are with you. And culture is saying, well, keep your prayers, do something. Well, I get that in a little bit. If it's in your power to help somebody, do it. But prayer is not doing nothing. Prayer is not doing nothing. You are engaging in battle in the Spirit. When you pray for your family, you are not wasting time. When you pray over your home, you are not being passive. When you pray for your church, your spouse, your children, your pastor, your leaders, your nation, you are engaging spiritually. Prayer keeps your heart aligned with God. Prayer keeps you sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Prayer strengthens you when you are weak. Prayer helps you resist temptation. Prayer helps you forgive and discern, reminds you that the battle belongs to God. Prayer is essential. So don't think prayer is doing nothing. Prayer matters. Keeping the armor on matters. What you do daily matters. That brings me to this part of our time together. And that's why Good Morning Live and the Pioneer Channel matters so much to us. We're not here just trying to make Christian content, right? We are trying to help people wake up, get in the Word, pray, stand firm, follow Jesus in this hour. There are people watching today who are tired, people who feel spiritually attacked, people who need encouragement, people who need truth, people who need to be reminded that they are not fighting alone. So that's why I have made a commitment before the Lord that every time we come live on these, I'm going to ask for those that God would lay on their hearts. There's never any pressure. We don't pressure anyone to doing anything. All of this is free. We do it because it's our call. But for those who are able and feel the call of God to do it, to consider becoming a Pioneer Media partner. Why? Because you help us carry this message further. You help us put gospel-centered teaching onto screens, apps, platforms, and into homes where people need strength for battle. So if this ministry strengthens you, then would you consider partnering with us monthly? You can go to ptnnow.com, and your partnership helps us continue calling people to Jesus and equipping believers to stand firm with no turning back. So let me close with this. The goal of spiritual warfare is not to make you obsessed with the devil. You don't need to talk about the devil. You don't need to talk to the devil, right? The goal is to stand firm in Jesus. Paul keeps using that language, stand, stand firm. Having done all, stand. That means victory is not always flashy. Sometimes victory looks like standing. I just did not quit today. I did not compromise today. I did not give in to the lie. I did not allow that offense to take root. I did not stop praying. I did not stop going forward. I didn't turn back. I stood. And that may be exactly what someone needs to hear today. You can stand, not because you're strong enough in yourself, but because the Lord is strong. You can stand in truth. You can stand in righteousness, in faith, in the Word, in prayer. You can stand in Christ. The enemy may be real, but he is not equal to God. Darkness may be real, but it is not stronger than light. The battle may be real, but Jesus has already won the victory. So don't live afraid, but don't live careless. Don't fight people. Don't ignore the battle. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the armor of God. Pray always. Stand with no turning back. Let me pray for us today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have not left us helpless and hopeless in the battle, but you have given us your strength. You have given us your armor and your word. You have given us prayer and the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us be sober-minded and watchful without becoming fearful or strained. Help us recognize the real. Help us stop fighting people and start standing in prayer. Teach us to walk in truth. Teach us to walk in righteousness. Teach us to lift up faith like a shield. Teach us to guard our minds with the helmet of salvation. Teach us to use the word of God, to pray with perseverance. Would you strengthen every believer watching today? Strengthen families and marriages, and pastors and churches. Churches, strengthen those who feel weary in the fight. And for anyone watching today who has never surrendered to Jesus, today is your day. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again, and he is Lord. And the safest place you can be is in surrender to him. So if that's you, just pray this from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. Forgive me. Make me new. I surrender my life to you. Teach me to follow you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you have gone from death to life. We want to get you some free information. Simply go to ptnnow.com. You can do that. Thank you for being with me today on Good Morning Live. Remember this, not every problem is a demon, but every disciple is in a battle. So be strong in the Lord. Put on the armor of God. Pray always. Stand with no turning back. And if this teaching has encouraged you, consider becoming a Pioneer Media partner by going to ptnnow. I love you. I'm praying for you. I'll see you next time on Good Morning Live. And remember, above all, God loves you. He's not mad at you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.